Welcome everyone to episode 106 of Bike Club. This is Eileen.
This is Lynn.
This is Stephanie.
This is Shannon.
And we are back. We have a big recap for the second episode of season 3 for The Vampire Diaries, and there's a little bit of news concerning Twilight and True Blood, and we'll even talk about the Secret Circle. Before we get to that, this is Bike Club Show, where each week we sink our teeth into your favorite fantastic shows. You can find us at bikeclubshow.com. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/bikeclubshow. Email us at bikeclubshow@gmail.com, and you can also find us on Twitter at Bike Club Show. No Josh, but it's the ladies here tonight. That's all right. We got a lot to say, right, ladies?
Yeah.
I guess I'm the only one drinking tonight, and I actually am drinking while I record the episode. And I have a 2009 Rodney Strong Pinot Noir bottle, which I think our friend Fat Emo Kid gave us a long time ago, and I wanted to share with everybody, but we just haven't had a chance to all get together to podcast. So I'll read the description in the back. Style: silky in texture with rose petal, red cherry, and pomegranate flavors. This Pinot Noir was matured in French oak barrels, adding a subtle toasty spice character. Place: sculpted by the Russian River, low rolling hills host warm afternoons with brisk ocean-cooled nights that are ideal for maturing delicious balanced Pinot Noir. I've had two glasses already, and I can tell you from the first minute I tasted it, it was really, really, really good. I might be a little tipsy tonight. As I keep drinking, I have the bottle here and I have to give it to my husband so that I don't drink anymore. I've read the description and I shouldn't have any more. But it is actually, it's full-bodied but light. It's hard to explain, but, you know, it's a good Pinot. I generally like Pinot Noirs. So it's a strong wine, but it's not heavy. It's not very, you know, oaky or smoky or anything like that. It's kind of got a light flavor to it. So while it does go well with pastas and whatnot in meats, you know, I don't think it would be a bad thing to drink this, you know, on a summer evening. I think it's although it's fall now, it's very delightful. I really like it. I would actually give this 4 fangs. It's very good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to try it.
And I'm having another sip. So thank you, Fat Emo Kid. And I'm, you know, Tom and I are drinking it. We like it. We liked it from the very first sip. So, yay! All right. Let's just go ahead and get into our news. Okay, so I'm still not watching The Secret Circle, but I know Stephanie and Shannon, you are. So update us. What should we know? What's going on with the second episode?
Well, I wasn't here last week to tell you guys what my first reaction was on it. So, Stephanie, is it okay with you if I just hop right in?
Yeah, hop right in. I did mention that I gave it a mostly positive review, but I'm totally wondering what you think about, especially now that we've seen 2 episodes.
Yeah, so far, I watched the first episode and I thought that they jumped right into the storyline, which was really great because a lot of times I watch the pilot of a show and it's kind of slow because they're just developing the characters. So they immediately had Cassie, the main character, move to her grandma's house in the neighborhood where the other 5 young teenage witches are. It's a little bit on the teenage side, obviously. They're all in high school, so I felt it was a little bit childish. It's definitely focused towards a younger audience than our age group, but that's okay because I was still enjoying it. They have a lot of really cool effects. I like the magic that's happening right now, and the plot is it's really fast. In the second episode, we already know that who the enemy is probably going to be. The guy, I forget what his name is, but he showed up with that crystal, and I'm pretty sure he was the one that had killed Cassie's mom in the first place.
Yep.
And we also see in the previews for next week that somebody's coming after them. Like they want to kill all the kids and I guess take their magical powers from them. Not really sure what's happening with that yet, but yeah, I'm going to continue to watch it because I am getting into the storyline since it is very fast paced. And I'm liking it so far. What about you, Stephanie?
I agree. Like you said, it is very fast paced. And, you know, the thing that's too bad about this show, though, is that it's obviously a high school show. And like you said, you know, it's almost geared towards a younger audience. But I read that they were actually trying to make the adult storyline just as important. And so I just can't imagine, you know, my mom watching this show, or
I can't either.
Yeah. Like, so for them to be targeting an older audience or an older storyline, it's like, I'm not sure how well that's going to work. But I am finding intrigue on how the parents are reacting, especially in the second episode, to the kids practicing magic.
Yeah.
I was surprised that Cassie gave in so quickly to doing the binding ceremony. It was like only one incident or a couple incidents that made her change her mind entirely. And I thought that was a little slightly unbelievable. But, you know, I did enjoy seeing that bad girl's, I forgot her name, the girl that
Faye, I think.
Yeah, Faye, the annoying one with the big lips. I mean, she's super pretty, but she, you know, I don't know how to describe her. But she accidentally killed one of her classmates. And they used magic to, mom used magic to bring her back. And I don't know, I enjoyed seeing like a more vulnerable side of her in episode two. So anyway, yeah, I'll keep watching. So
cool.
Yeah, thumbs up so far.
Wow. Okay. I feel like I'm missing out a little bit. But God, fall TV, there's so much going on. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get caught up with everything. Lena, yeah. Are you going to watch this at all?
I'm going to try, because it's kind of hard because I don't have subscription TV at home. Mm-hmm. So I can't DVR it. Like, I have to wait. Yeah.
I catch it over the air. I'm not sure if maybe.
Do you have rabbit ears?
Oh, yeah, no, I do. But I missed this past Thursday's Vampire Diary, so I had to watch it on YouTube. So I have to actively, either if I'm home, I can stay and watch it, or I have to actively like look on either YouTube or, you know, on the CW's website. Right. So, but I'm hoping it sounds interesting. I like the witch, you know, aspect and the magic aspect. So right. Maybe I love teenagers.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'd say
so.
It's like it's interesting, but there's so many shows on right now. I mean, between the Vampire Diaries, which is definitely a priority, and then I'm also watching, you know, The Secret Circle, then there's The Ringer. And then,
The Ringer.
Yeah.
How are you guys liking The Ringer? I mean, the only reason why we're talking about it is because Sarah Michelle Gellar's on it, but I'm still enjoying The Ringer.
I am too. It's a total soap opera.
It kind of is, yeah. Right? It's like, oh my God, is she going to get caught? And the second, you guys watched the second episode, right? Yes. So she put the body in the chest. Yeah. And then the blood started to seep out and everything. And I thought, oh my God.
The phone started to ring.
Yeah, how in the world? Yeah, when the phone rang, I was like, how in the world is she going to get out of this? But, you know, yeah, I guess that's how I treat it. Nighttime soap opera.
Yeah, I love seeing all the new characters on the show, though. There's Leela from Dexter in the show now.
Oh, I know.
I forgot her name on the show, but she was also on Spartacus.
Season.
Uh-huh. And she plays Siobhan's husband, Andrew's I don't know, partner who's like totally in love with him. And then there's also Baze, or I'm not using their real name, but Baze was from Life Unexpected. And I really liked him in that show. And in Ringer, he's such a douche. Like cheating on his wife and with Siobhan. And I don't know who else is in the show. The cop, I recognize the cop from somewhere. I don't know if he's from like Lost or something. Mm. But it's interesting.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. No, he was from Lost. That's Richard, the guy that never aged. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I don't know, though. It's I can't get over, like, the names of the characters, Siobhan and Bridget. I don't really. Why did they name her Siobhan? It just sounds so weird. Like, I don't know. It's kind of a petty problem to have. But I don't like the names of the two girls.
I don't either.
Shiv.
Siobhan.
He calls the husband calls her Shiv for short.
Shiv.
It's like I have the old Shiv back.
Okay. Sounds like an STD.
Oh
Well,
I think we're all going to keep watching it. I kind of like it on my Tuesday nights. It's like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. All right, well, moving on to Twilight news. The Breaking Dawn soundtrack list is going to be released by the time you listen to this podcast. the list should already be out. I need to turn off this audio. Nobody can hear it but me. Okay, there we go. Also on the soundtrack is a track from Bruno Mars, and it's going to be called It Will Rain, and it is a, I guess, a dark song from him, from what I understand. Let me see if I can play a little bit of this for you guys. Maybe you can hear it. I will see here. All right.
I like the melody. I like the feeling. I wonder if this is going to be kind of their honeymoon tune.
Oh.
It was kind of creepy.
It does? Oh, okay.
Like an eerie song to me with the minors mixed in with the normal chords. So it felt kind of different to me. But I guess he says in that article that it's supposed to be kind of a dark love story. That is how he feels about the music, right?
Which is pretty much
makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I'm curious to hear it when it kicks in with his voice, you know?
Yeah, so me too.
I guess that's the first track we'll hear. On September 27th, they'll release that. Or I'm sure that we'll have some sort of like, here, preview the album. You know, you can listen to it streaming, that kind of thing, so. by the time you listen to this podcast, that should be out, and we'll probably talk about it in the next episode. All right, and also, I found this on our Facebook page, thank you, Stephanie, is that Robert Pattinson is going to record an album. What? Is it true?
Wow. Well, he did contribute to the first soundtrack of the Twilight, for the first Twilight movie, so he's no stranger to music, but I think now he's just making it like official. Like he's putting together an official album.
And according to the article, the album Rob will make will be guitar based and drums, very organic sounding, nothing pop, like stripped down Ray LaMontagne meets Van Morrison. He has that Van Morrison kind of growl. I mean, just basically from the first album or from the first or the two tracks that we heard on the original soundtrack of Twilight. So we know he's a musician. We've known that for a long time, and he plays guitar and piano, and so I'm looking forward to that. I think that'll be good. And Stephanie, you have we have reactions to Taylor Lautner's abduction, right?
Yes. Okay, so I guess now that they're shooting is all wrapped up for Breaking Dawn, they've moved on to their other big movies. Taylor Lautner has Abduction out in theaters right now, and for True... Oh, this is wrong show. I was going to mention Straw Dogs, but... Too glad. Sorry. But anyway, I came across this article on MSNBC about how, Taylor's really, really trying to break out of his Jacob role, and from the article, they're saying that, not only do they think that Taylor has the talent and the star power to have a long career as an actor in Hollywood, but they also think that he has the looks, the winning personality, work ethic, and most importantly, the ability to choose the right projects. Abduction is just the beginning. Unlike Zac Efron, Taylor is giving audiences what they want. That got Tom Cruise very far. So, wow, they're making really, really good predictions for Taylor. I haven't actually watched the movie, but... I wanted to read a couple comments from our Facebook listeners. Chris Galt says that he went and saw the movie and some of the dialogue was a little corny, but the action sequences felt very real because Taylor does his own stunts. I think he does his own stunts in Twilight too. I'm not sure. And it was fun to watch. And Jess Danowski also agrees with Chris that, the stunts made the movie really, really good, and agrees that the dialogue was corny. And, but it's interesting and it kept her glued to the edge of her seat. And she said she will be buying this movie and will probably give it 3.5 fangs. So cute. She's giving fangs for movies, which is great. Yeah. So I don't know. I didn't know how interested I was in seeing it. I guess in my mind, he's still Jacob. So yeah. It's really encouraging to read these kind of comments. I'll probably check it out on DVD.
Okay. Well, good to know. Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence. God, there's so many movies out. There's so many. Just TV itself is taking up my time. So I don't know. I just don't know. Anybody else going to try and catch Abduction?
No.
Like I said, DVD.
Yeah,
DVD.
It'll be a DVD
one. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, moving on to True Blood news. Joe Manganiello is going to appear on an October 24th episode of Two and a Half Men. So if you are longing for Alcide, if you just miss any of your True Blood characters, well, you can get one of the characters by watching an episode of Two and a Half Men. So does anybody watch that show?
I watched the first episode when they had Charlie Sheen's funeral. Just because I was interested in how they were going to portray, you know, his him being written off. And, oh, my God, they roasted him so bad. And I watched up until the point where, Ashton Kutcher showed up. And then I don't know, I had to go watch another show.
I watch this show, so I don't even know. Would it have made sense at all if I watched it or...
Yeah, I mean, you've seen the what's in the tabloids about, you know, what happened with the actor and with the relationship of the show. So in that context, just knowing what's going on in the news, I think you'd get a chuckle out of it. However, you know, being that I turned it off halfway through, I'm not a regular watcher of the show, but I think I would love to see Joe Manganiello. I'll probably catch the clip on YouTube or something.
Apparently, he's going to play the smoldering hot boyfriend of Bridget, who is the ex-wife of Walden, played by Ashton Kutcher. So
I'll be taking his shirt off.
Yeah, so maybe it'll be sort of recurring. Who knows? Yeah, smoldering. Yeah, exactly. So check that out. Shannon, you were telling us in pre-show about a movie that you're watching right now that stars one of favorite True Blood actors.
This is so funny. I'm currently watching I think this is the Sci-Fi Channel. I just have it on mute right now. But it's a movie with Ryan Kwanten, and it's called Dead Silence. And it's about this ventriloquist doll that, like, just shows up on his porch in a package, and then he comes home and his wife is dead, and he thinks that the doll killed his wife somehow. I think it's supposed to be a horror movie, but it's kind of cheesy, and it's from 2005. Uh-huh. So he looks like a boy. He's so cute. He's just adorable, and he's doing pretty good as far as the acting goes in the movie, so it's kind of funny, though.
Wow. Okay, so are you DVRing it so you can,
watch it later? No, I don't have a DVR, but I'm thinking I could probably find it, like, on Hulu or on demand or something.
Dead Silence, huh?
Dead Silence, yes.
Okay, all right, very cool. And Stephanie, you have a little bit here about Straw Dogs.
Yeah, okay, so I kind of mentioned this earlier, but Alexander Skarsgård does have a movie out in the theaters right now called Straw Dogs. We talked about it a little bit before, but, you know, I'm actually more interested in seeing Straw Dogs rather than Abduction.
It's a remake, too, of a film called Straw Dogs. But
yeah, I guess Alexander plays this really creepy guy in the movie. And it's where he met his ex-girlfriend, Kate Bosworth. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice seeing them do their publicity together, even though they're not together. But anyway, one of our Facebook listeners, Jess, she watched it, and she said it was actually really good. She thinks that he may have channeled a little bit of Eric for this role. His character definitely did some things I could picture Eric doing, and he's the antagonist of the movie, but has a main role and does a great job with it. And apparently the movie is a little, there are some uncomfortable scenes with some brutality and everything, so he's going for the dark roles, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, from the trailers, it seemed a bit there's like suspenseful or thriller, like, you know, there's kind of like parts where it could kind of mess with your mind a bit, or I don't know. I'm kind of waiting to see that. I had wanted to go see it right when it opened, but then I was like, I might just wait.
I'm not really a fan of scary movies, but I like the movies that make you think and are, you know, make you guess twice.
Yeah. So, oh, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
I love scary movies, but when it comes to movies that are like Wrong Turn or The Hills Have Eyes or apparently Straw Dogs, those are the kind of movies that I rent when I'm at home by myself and I don't have to feel too awkward watching it.
Oh, really?
All right. I'll probably wait.
Another DVD movie, perhaps.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, very good. Okay. No Vampire Diaries news, but that's okay because we have a whole episode to recap. It's time for our recap of The Vampire Diaries, Season 3, Episode 2, entitled The Hybrid. Can I start with the end first? Because it's really the thing that I remember the most. I mean, I remember a lot about the episode, but do you guys care if I start with the end first?
I think it's a good idea because it was kind of like the cliffhanger from the first episode.
And there's not much to say other than, okay, so we meet this guy earlier in the episode.
Tyler's do you remember who he is?
I do. He's Hornrim Glass HRG from Heroes. Yeah.
Heroes, I know.
Oh my god,
he's so creepy.
So this actor from Heroes is now on Vampire Diaries, and we see him talking to Tyler's mom, and she doesn't know what to do, and confesses, "Well, the vampire is Caroline. What do we do?" And he says, "Well, you know what we have to do." Blah blah blah. They have the discussion. Okay, let's skip to the end of the episode. Oh, actually, before that, Tyler's mom has second thoughts because, and we'll talk about it, she witnesses her son transform, oh my goodness, to a werewolf. And so, you know, she says, well, what if we're wrong? What if they're not all monsters and bad? And he's like, no, you know. And then at the end of the episode, we finally see Caroline, which we haven't seen her the entire episode, and she's bound and tied up and this, I don't know, cell or whatever. And then the door opens and we see it's the guy that Tyler's mom has been talking to, the guy from Heroes. And she looks at him and says, Daddy?
Whoa, it's so bad.
The best part of the show. I mean, this was a good episode, but that really threw me. I'm like, what? No way. So he can't kill his own daughter?
Or can he? He hasn't her life. Like, at
well,
all.
She's not a person anymore. She's a vampire. And he had mentioned it, I think, too.
Yeah. Is that what he said?
Because he knows it's her.
Yeah, because she said it's Caroline. And so obviously, you know, I didn't get when the conversation was happening with Tyler's mom that it was, you know, I mean, it sounded like, oh, well, we all know Caroline because it's a small town or whatever. But, you know, I didn't put two and two together. I never thought that would be her dad.
Well, did they ever talk about the dad in the previous episodes? Because I always felt like he either walked out.
I thought he had just walked out and like remarried or something, gone off to a different town.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen her mom at all in this whole thing.
They've been mentioning her name about tips and things like that, but we haven't seen her. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder if we'll see her in the next episode. I wonder if she even knows any. She must not know that this is happening because she is protecting her daughter at this point. Right?
Right. I don't think she knows. Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't know that she's been captured. So, I don't know. I mean, that was very shocking to me. And I we're on the Caroline. I'm drinking right now. Drink, because Caroline's in danger.
No.
I mean, I think she'll be fine. The previews, from what I remember, show the dad. He's like, he seems to think he knows how he can get it out of her. And so he moves her and it's the sun is in the way. And so she's starting to burn. That's all I see. So I don't know what he thinks he's doing by like, oh, you can get the demon out of her. I don't think he's going to be able to cure her. She's a vampire. And you're going to cure her by putting her in sun. I don't know. Anyways.
Well, one of the interesting things he did mention was that, you know, when he was on the phone with, Tyler's mom, that, he had said, oh, you married into it. You're not aware of all these things.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
Because of the council. So she's totally new to all of this, you know, quote unquote new. So he probably was part of the whole history.
Got it.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Well, then let's go ahead and revisit, you know, the mom. So in the morning, what did you guys think of that whole scene with Tyler? She put vervain in the coffee and was like, oh, I suspect my son, too, if he's sleeping with Caroline. Oh, my gosh.
I totally knew what she was doing as soon as he took a drink. I was like, oh, she put vervain in there.
I know, me too. And you can see her eyes of relief when he's just like, oh, this tastes awful. What's going on? The creamer's bad or whatever. and I love that he finally put two and two together when he had coffee again at Mystic Grill. And Matt told him, Carolyn's mom is telling him to, you know, to put vervain in the drinks every once in a while, you know. And he's like, that's vervain? That's what it tastes like?
So he had no idea.
He had no idea. And then I love the fact that he goes back and kind of presses his mom. You know, where's Caroline? Where's Caroline? She's like, oh, I can't tell. You know, let's pretend like, what was the whole discussion? It's like, let's not pretend that we don't know that she's a vampire. Let's not pretend that we don't know.
That was pretty awesome.
Well, let's not pretend.
Just outright and said it.
Yes. And let's not pretend that you don't know that, you know, all this stuff. And then he says, well, you don't know about me, do you? And she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
That was great. I like the scene where he brought her downstairs and she's screaming. She's like, what are you, Tyler? What are you doing? What are you doing? And then he's, get in the cage. She changes in front of her. I love it.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of that whole, like, Tyler mom? I mean, finally she knows, right?
It made me appreciate the mom. Like, I don't think she's a bad person anymore. Because right. I know before I was, like, hating her. But now it's like, oh, she generally cares about her son. And, maybe with the supernatural thing, she'll be on the more sympathetic side, you know?
Right. Well, she's trying. Now, you know, as we find out, she's trying to say Caroline, like, well, you know, maybe we don't know. And then, I don't know.
It's a little too late.
Yeah, a little too late. So, Shannon and Stephanie, do you guys have a little more sympathy for Tyler's mom at this point?
Little bit. You know, I think she should have held off on calling Caroline's dad a little bit longer until she knew, like, the full story, or maybe had talked to Tyler beforehand.
Hmm.
But TV drama.
Yeah.
I agree. It just never works out.
No, it never does. Never does. Yeah.
Caroline. They're not that reasonable.
Well, hopefully they'll be able to get her out of that that area before Dad gets to do anything horrible. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe he's the new Uncle John.
Oh no.
I'm skeptical of him already, so yes. Maybe.
Okay, let's go back to the trio of Elena, Damon, and Stefan. Now, Stefan's still out with Klaus, and Klaus is trying to make all his hybrids, and, you know, they find the werewolf pack out in the woods. In the meantime, Elena is still searching for Damon. I'm trying to remember exactly how it all turned out, but we know that that crazy guy, Ray, they have him, and, you know, I guess I'm skipping a whole bunch, but he starts to turn and he goes crazy, and he bites Stefan. You know, he's got a fatal werewolf bite because he's still a werewolf. And Stefan's like, well, I just need your blood. He's like, well, you need to go find him. Well, I'm not going to give you my blood. Did you find him? Like, God, what a bitch, Klaus. God.
Yeah, seriously.
And he's so mean to everybody that he's trying to change to be in his, you know, his army. He's just, I don't know. I mean, what did you guys think of the whole Klaus and Stefan out there in the woods with all the werewolves that they're basically going to turn, or that Klaus is going to turn?
I was essentially just laughing at Klaus the whole time, knowing that he was going to fail. And so, because he had to essentially turn, like, give everybody his blood, kill them, and then only to find out that it didn't work. Mm-hmm. The hybrids, you know, started crying blood from their eyes, and they were essentially just crazy. Like, it wasn't going to work out. And so he had to kill them all again. So, I was just laughing at him the whole time.
I was scared. I was scared for our favorite Elena, because mm-hmm. I was worried that he would just, there would be a moment in his head where a light would pop on and he'd be like, oh, I thought I killed the doppelganger.
Mm-hmm.
She's still alive. And then he would come attack her. Thank God he didn't really, didn't really click, but it felt like it kind of did.
Well, so the part that I was kind of curious was, you know how at one point Ray, he was kind of acting crazy, then he flipped out and ran away.
Right.
Klaus asked Stefan to go after him and go find him. And as Stefan was running after him, he stops and hears Damon and Elena kind of talking.
Yes.
So I was like thinking, okay, so then he walks over, looks at it, eavesdrop kind of thing, overhearing whatever, you know, that they're looking for Stefan. And then he hears Klaus kind of approaching behind him.
Yeah.
And he was trying to kind of hide the fact that, oh, hey, yeah, he went this way. Yeah, I'm going to go look for him and blah, blah, blah. So in my head, I'm thinking, okay, if Stefan can hear Elena and the gang, wouldn't Klaus be able to hear them too? And his hearing is probably even better because he's older. He's been a vampire way longer, and now he's the hybrid, so he has more power, or, you know what I mean? So I wonder if he's just playing it off right now because he doesn't have anyone.
Well,
so,
I think he went through with the whole sort of transforming the whole crew. I don't think he heard him at that point, but I don't know. Maybe he at the end of it all when everything didn't work. Mm-hmm. Don't you think he might suspect now?
I would think so.
A little bit sad.
He seems sad. Like Klaus said to Stefan, well, you're my only comrade now. Like, he seems sad. Like, it really didn't work. So that leads me to that he doesn't have any idea that Stefan...
I think that's the... I see what you're saying, and I feel the way, too, but I don't trust... partly, I think it's the genius of the writers, you know? They kind of put us thinking that, he feels sad. But I think Klaus is so crazy or so... He can be super nice one day, you know, sincere with, I guess, Stefan. But then he went ahead and like killed everyone, like saying there's only one alpha here, you know. So, and the way he kind of just went off when he found out the plan didn't work.
Mm.
I don't know. I feel like they might bring this back at some point later because... they got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I just feel like Elena is too safe, quote unquote, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do too.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just feel like he might. It's just at that point where he said, well, I killed the doppelganger. And I just felt there was a moment of pause. Like, wait a minute.
Ding, ding, ding. No, you didn't.
And then you saw Stefan's kind of like, I saw his apple, Adam's apple kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, he was trying to hide the fact.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe that's why in the previews we see him back in Mr. Grill. Maybe they're going back.
Oh, yeah.
Something. I don't know.
Maybe. So what did we think about Elena going out with Alaric and then, you know, Alaric basically duped her? Like, of course Damon's gonna know about all that, right?
Mm-hmm. I loved how Damon just popped up and threw her in the water.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So funny.
He was treating her like a child. Get out of the water. She's like, no, because if I get out of the water, you have to bring me home. I was like, well, duh. She was acting like a child, which is really funny.
Yeah,
she really was.
But it made sense, though, because I think part of this episode was the building of her and Alaric's relationship as a, you know, not necessarily a daughter-father type relationship, but a family-type relationship.
Yeah.
I think they were trying to build that up in this episode.
Yeah.
And so... Alaric, you know, called Damon because he's trying to protect Elena.
Right.
Well, so I thought it was cute.
There's a time, if you think about it, they're going into possibly a pack of wolves and Stefan and Klaus. Mm-hmm. Just the two of them, humans. And then he didn't even want to take the ring from her. Remember that? It's like, Alaric, take the freaking ring and give it back to her after it's all over. Jeez. you're not going to be any help to her dead, you know, so just take the ring. I was like, what is your problem?
Well, I think the first thing he said was like, oh, no, that was like Uncle John's or the John Gilbert's.
John Gilbert's, yeah.
And he just like hated that guy. So.
I guess, but I mean, at the same time, it's like it's protection. You know, can't protect.
He was being kind of stupid.
Yeah, you can't protect Elena by being a human. Quite sorry. You know, she's the doppelganger. So yeah, you know, I mean, she's kind of safe in a way, quote unquote safe. But he's not. He can go at any time, and then what? So I don't know, Lark. Just come on. All right. So they go searching and Damon finds Stefan. What do you guys think about all of that?
Oh, yeah. I was happy that Stefan still killed, you know, still stood up for Damon, even though, you know, they're separated and everything. So I thought it was kind of touching, but... It's too bad, like, you know, I don't know, I guess Damon changed, like, now he's saying, like, oh, Stefan can be saved because, you know, even in his darkest hour, he still can't kill me. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was kind of touching.
Yeah, it gave Damon that light of, like, oh, okay, so my brother's not completely lost.
Yeah. Right? So was that referring to the scene where... Damon and the fake hybrid were fighting, mm-hmm. and then Stefan came and killed it, and then whether Stefan was going to also kill Damon, was that kind of what he was referring to?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I thought it was more. I didn't really know where that was where that was coming from. I just thought he was actually trying to send a message, you know, kind of like. Letting Damon know that don't let Elena continue to pursue the search or look for...
I thought that whole conversation of, you know, take Elena home and this time keep her there was because he cares about Elena's safety.
Like, right, yeah. So that's why he didn't kill Damon.
Yeah, that too.
I didn't know why he thought that he was going to kill him. That's why I was kind of thrown off. I was like, oh, didn't seem that way to me.
Well, Ray was going to kill Damon. I mean, they were in a pretty intense fight. And then Stefan killed Ray. It could have gone the other way. I mean, if he had killed Damon, then he would be helping his hybrid, you know, army.
You know, yes, got it. Yeah, that's right. He was there to protect or to kill Ray before Ray can attack Damon. Got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then it seemed like Elena may have gotten a little glimpse of Stefan at the end.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, that was in the car. It totally looked like she saw him for a second.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. That was cute. I think she always knows, yeah.
She knows, right? Mm-hmm. She knows a little bit. I mean, he was there. He stood there just long enough, and then...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she knows. And then there was the fact that Damon, like, basically confronted her after their outing and said, like, I know he's still alive. I know that he's still a part of his old self, so I will find him. What did he mention to her, like, when he held her face in his hands? He said something...
Oh, he was challenging her to admit why she decided to leave. And he was like, why did you want to leave when you were so intent on finding Stefan? And he got her to admit that she was worried about Stefan. She couldn't bear the thought of Damon getting hurt. And so he made her admit it. And then he's like, all right, well, you know, I just want you to remember that this is how you feel while Stefan is gone. So saying, you know, there's a moment that they had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a moment.
And then Alaric overheard.
Yeah. And he's like, you sure you know what you're doing? And she's like, no, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Oh, the triangle continues.
Mm-hmm.
I love the triangle.
I know. We have to have a triangle, right?
Yes.
All right. Now let's go to Elena's brother, Jeremy, who is still having the visions. Now, what are you guys thinking there? Well, with all these visions and you know, he's telling Matt. He's like, well, we got to tell somebody, right? And Matt's like,
I feel like it's going really slowly.
Too slow it for is. You? It is.
But we did get a cliffhanger with Anna and Vicky.
Yep.
That was good. Now, I like that scene. I don't know whose kitchen they were in, but, you know, Jeremy is telling, or Matt's like, who's there? Is there? You know, and then Jeremy's like, she's here. She's here. And it seemed that there was some sort of breakthrough here at this moment with Vicky.
It did.
And then Anna's just like, comes in and says, don't trust her. So I don't know what to think anymore. Yeah.
I don't know where this is going to go to.
Yeah, they haven't really given us a whole lot to speculate on, if you will. And, like, and that's why I said it was going slowly. So I'm like, okay, it's like three episodes, or it's going to be three episodes in pretty soon, and I still don't know where this is going.
Hmm.
I wonder if Vicky's going to try to kill Jeremy and bring him into her, I don't know, her middle world or wherever she is right now.
Yeah,
she did say that she can come back.
Yeah, that's the part I was like, what? That's where I'm like, well, maybe I should believe Anna, right? And say, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but for what purpose? Like, that's, and Bonnie, and we haven't seen Bonnie. So I guess this part of it, it's like totally confusing to me.
Yeah.
I don't get
Bonnie's
it.
Like on vacation or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, why is she not there? Hello?
I don't know. And do we see her in the preview? I saw a 30-second preview. I didn't really see, I didn't see her. But her name's in the credit. So,
Yeah, I don't think we see her either. So, she's a regular. So, I guess I don't know what to think about this at all. It's still, you know, kind of murky.
If you were Jeremy, who would you trust? Anna or Vicky?
Oh
gosh, I don't know. He's got history with Vicky.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think I'd trust
Vicky.
Anna.
I would trust Anna too. Oh,
really? Oh man,
Stephanie's on Vicky's side.
Oh, Shannon, you and I are on Anna's side. Okay.
Because I think it's just because Matt is there. I feel like, you know, there's more at stake and more that she can do.
The drug addict, though. Remember, she was the twisted one, and then got turned. And
no drugs in the afterlife. I'm sure she's fine.
No, maybe she wants to come back so she can get her drugs.
Yeah, I'd like to be a high ghost. Weird. No, I don't know. I think she can contribute more. You know. Because she'd affect both Jeremy and Matt. So I think I just feel bad for Matt because he doesn't really have a place anymore. He's not with Caroline. He doesn't really have any other storylines going on other than helping Jeremy. And so that's why I'm like, well, you know, if he had Vicky back, that would give him some more, a more dynamic storyline. But who knows? Anna's born with the vampires, so there's that.
Lynn, who would you trust?
I might just have to wait one more episode because I have no idea where it's going. I'm completely lost on what it could be related to. I mean, as of right now, I think probably Anna, because I don't want Vicky to do anything bad, but I'm not saying it with any certainty or with any like reason. I'm just saying
it. I like Anna too, but every time the camera's on her, she looks evil.
I don't know. She sounded sincere to me when she said, "Don't trust Vicky." Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Yeah, very big question mark on that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might be alone on this because I know Josh would pick Anna.
He
probably would. You're right.
Yeah, I'm excited for this storyline to keep going though because I just feel like they've been kind of dragging it out. Progression.
Yeah. All right. Well, did we miss anything? I think we got everything in this episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, the next episode is called The End of the Affair. And here's the description. It's the Roaring Twenties. Klaus and Stefan arrive in Chicago, where Stefan is reunited with a vampire, guest star Claire Holt of Pretty Little Liars, who hasn't really moved on from her interest in him decades earlier. In a flashback to Chicago in the 1920s, Stefan comes face to face with a shocking chapter from his wild past. So we get to see some more Ripa, Stefan. After Damon gets a tip on Stefan and Klaus's whereabouts from an unexpected source, he and Elena follow their trail. Surprise! Back in Mystic Falls, Tyler is concerned about Caroline and turns to Sheriff Forbes, finally she's back, for help. Chris, okay, and then we just get the director and who it written by. So I guess we get to see Sheriff Forbes finally.
There was, remember the previews for next episode? There was a quick shot of Elena and Damon looking through all the names that that were Stefan's victims. So it's probably related to that too. So, wow. Very exciting.
Very, very, very exciting stuff. I'm going to try and play the audio here of the preview. I think you guys might be able to hear this.
What are we doing here?
Bringing back memories of the good old Ripper days.
Are these all of his victims?
Tell me you can do this.
What are you doing?
So I'm going to fix you. See, they've opened the doors to the rift.
What can I say? I'm a thrill seeker.
The Vampire Diaries, all new, this Thursday at 8, 7 central on the CW.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to fix you was Caroline's dad. And then, yeah, the names that you were saying about Elena and Stefan seeing all the names. And I guess they're just going to revisit Stefan's past.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, a lot to look forward to in the next episode of The Vampire Diaries. Off to a very good start. Congrats to them. We have one email here from Cass, who is the big Twilight fan who listens to our show. And she says about Twilight. Hey, girls. I just love you guys and enjoy the show every week. I also wanted to comment on your assumption on Twilight fans not showing up to Comic-Con and your Eclipse movie experience. I don't think Comic-Con or your movie experience has anything to do with how the movie will do. My theater was full all 3 days. I went to see Eclipse. Wow, she went three times.
Whoa.
And she says, Eclipse, yes, I went three times. Within 2 weeks. So your experience may differ from a lot of people, and honestly, I was not going to spend days waiting outside Comic-Con. Maybe fans are just tired of waiting on the streets. The excitement for a lot of things die, and Twilight is no exception, but the fan base is still strong, and numbers for the movie will be just like any other movie. So I agree with that. I think the numbers are still going to be, you know, strong, but I just felt it was just, I don't know. And we didn't go to the... They didn't have a Eclipse Comic Con, but they had a
Breaking Dawn.
New Moon. They had the New Moon one, and we didn't go to that. So and that was pandemonium. But right. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think she's right. I mean, I'm still excited about the future movies.
Yeah.
Me too.
Me too. Me three.
Yeah.
I think it's just we all have different experiences. I mean, we didn't go to the previous ones and just remember like seeing clips of all the YouTube videos of all the screaming fans. And when we were there, they weren't screaming the way that I had expected them to.
Yeah.
So maybe I had high expectations of like, you know, everyone shouting. But it would have been interesting to see that. But they were more calm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of reasons why it was calm, though. I mean, maybe because it was on Thursday and it was early in the morning. So maybe just people didn't wake up for it or weren't there yet at Comic-Con. So, you know,
right.
Maybe that's just a one-off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very possible.
Yeah. But no, I'm really excited. To, you know, we're counting down the days. It's what, 6 weeks, 5 weeks?
Oh, my God. Is it that?
October is next week. October
18th.
Saturday. So... 6 weeks, yeah. It was just about 6 weeks.
So true. Oh, my God. So crazy, like, how fast, you know, everything's going to be. And, yeah, so, all right. Well, Breaking Dawn is just around the corner, and I guess that does it for this episode of Bike Club Show. So, any other closing thoughts on anything, ladies?
Oh, something I just thought of. I thought Tyler was really mature. I like the new him.
He looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, I always thought he was cute, but he looks really good this season. Yeah,
like he seemed, I don't know, he just grew. I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's the confidence in him and, you know, they're using him more in the show. I don't know. Or he's just older. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Do you guys agree?
Agree. That goes for some other characters too. Like Jeremy looks really good this season.
Oh, yeah. Well. Jeremy looks good too. Yes.
That's much older. I'm a fan.
Yeah. As they get older, they mature. All right, everybody. Well, that does it. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And until next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.